إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، we begin as always by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. And whoever is misled, there is none that can guide him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. I testify that there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I testify that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech is the Book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all the matters are the newly invented matters in worship. And every newly invented form of worship is misguidance, and all misguidance leads to the hellfire. Alhamdulillah, we're still continuing with our lessons from the lessons of the benefits from the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Learning about the conditions of La ilaha illallah. And this is on the 11th of Jumad al-Ula in the year 1442 al-Hijrah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that the Hijri date, the year, is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. And this is an important matter, that we revive the practice of using the Hijri calendar, because this was the calendar which Allah subhanahu wa which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated for the Muslims. And this is in corresponding to the 26th of December, year 2020. And we're still continuing with the introduction, to the book, or the benefits of conditions of La ilaha illallah. So today, inshallah, we want to look at the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Previously, we looked at the benefits of La ilaha illallah, and we looked at the great status of La ilaha illallah, and being the best of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying La ilaha illallah. Now we want to look at the meaning of La ilaha illallah, because it's so important to understand what we're saying. Otherwise, we have no benefit whatsoever, and it will be just repeating something with not knowing what it means. We could even say it in Chinese, or say it in another language which we don't understand, if we don't understand the correct meaning of La ilaha illallah. Because the majority of the Muslims, we would say 90% or even greater than that, do not understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Actually, more than 90% do not know the meaning, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Because they've taken it from what they've been taught. And one of the first things that usually parents usually teach their children, Muslim parents teaching their children, is Allah, the word Allah, and then teaching them to say La ilaha illallah. But they don't understand the meaning, the great value of this statement. So the correct meaning, we'll look at the correct meaning, and then inshallah we're going to look at some of the wrong meanings of La ilaha illallah, because this will help us to put this into perspective. Very, very, very important that we put this into perspective, the correct meaning, so we do not become deviated, and we have the real value of this La ilaha illallah. So the correct meaning of La ilaha illallah, the translation, is that there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah alone. In Arabic, it's La ma'budin bihaqin illallah. La ma'budin bihaqin illallah. There is none worthy of worship, worthy, the haq, who has the right of worship, in truth, none worthy of worship in truth, bilhaq, truly, except Allah alone. And the proof for this is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. Yani the only true creator of all that exists. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ بَاطِلٌ. And what the mushrikun invoke, or what the kuffar, the non-believers, invoke, call upon besides Allah, then it is batil, falsehood. Allah says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. And verily, Allah is the Most High, the Most Great. And this is in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 62. This is the proof, the evidence, to show that this statement, there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah alone. La ma'budin bihaqin illallah. Okay? And this is what our scholars have mentioned and affirmed, that this is the correct meaning. And that is based upon what our Sheikh, and many of the scholars mentioned the same thing, okay? But our Sheikh explained it, Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimullah, he explained it, it is negation and affirmation. La ilaha, negation. And we've mentioned this point before, negating. Wa illallah, ithbat, affirmation, affirming. There's La ilaha, there's no deity or none worthy of worship except Allah. Okay, so La ilaha negates jami'al ma'budat, yani it negates all, anything and everything that's worshipped. Wa jami'al aliha bighayri haqqin, and all the ones they claim that are God without any right, because they have no right to claim that. And illallah is the thabbut al ibadah, it is affirming worship. Bihaq lillahi wahdahu, that affirming worship in truth for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And he said, and this is the foundation of the religion and the asas of the millah, foundation and the major the foundation for the ummah, for the millah, for the Muslims, okay, that they affirm worship only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So he said it's wajib on all the people who have been tasked from the jinn and the insan, anybody who says La ilaha illallah, that they come, whether it's men or women, that they have iman in this meaning and they believe it and they have sincerity for worship for Allah alone. So to have iman in this meaning, you have it in your heart, in your faith, that none of these other things that these people worship have the right of worship. Yeah, they worship Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, especially nowadays, as they claim that he was born in the winter months. But the Quran actually goes against this. the Quran actually proves that he was born in the summer months. It proves that Isa alayhi salam was born in the summer months and not in the winter months. The non-Muslims, and they admit to this as well, that how they changed their book and how they changed their religion to suit themselves. Whereas the Muslim never ever does that. He doesn't change the religion to suit himself. Rather, he submits himself to Allah and changes himself to what Allah requires from him, what Allah has tasked with him, what Allah has ordered him to do. So we have Iman in this meaning of La ilaha illallah. And we believe it, and we have sincerity of worship for Allah alone. So this is the correct meaning of La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Let's look at one of the meanings that the majority of the Muslims say. There, when you ask them, what is La ilaha illallah, what's the meaning? Like, say, the literal translation, they'd say, there is no God but God. Okay, this is the statement that they use. This is the statement that they use for to show that, you know, the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So if you come across any of them, and they say, and they have like non-Muslim colleagues at work or whatever, or friends, and the non-Muslim says, so what is this meaning of La ilaha illallah? We heard this statement. We hear these people say La ilaha illallah. We hear it in the adhan in the Muslim countries and where the non-Muslims are living. They hear the adhan, they say, what is this La ilaha illallah? And the majority of the Muslims, they'll say, it means there is no God but God. And this is completely wrong. Completely wrong meaning of La ilaha illallah. There's no God but God. That's a translation. That's not the meaning. Yeah? That's not the meaning. And for us to understand a translation, we have to understand its meaning. Okay? For us to understand a translation, we have to understand its meaning. Otherwise, it could be, when you translate from any language to another language, it has no meaning whatsoever. So there is no God but God. That has no meaning. There's no God but God. It doesn't mean anything. Okay? So our Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars of hadith, he said, as for majority of the Muslims today, who testify that there is none, La ilaha illallah, they do not understand its meaning correctly. Sorry. They do not understand its meaning correctly. He said, in fact, perhaps they probably understand this completely wrong, or completely in the opposite way. They understand it completely in the opposite way and completely upside down. Completely upside down. They understand it completely in the wrong way. Okay? And he says, I will give you an example. Because one of them, he wrote a book, and the title was The Meaning of La ilaha illallah. And he explained this meaning. He said, there is La Rab illallah, that there is no Lord except Allah. Okay? There is no Lord except Allah. That's the meaning that he thought that La ilaha illallah meant. He thought La ilaha illallah means La Rab, that there is no Lord except Allah. And the Shaykh says, and this meaning, that this meaning, La Rab illallah, is the meaning that the mushrikun, those who say partners with Allah at the time of the Prophet, at the time of the Quraysh, at the time of the Prophet, this is what they used to believe in. They used to believe there is no Lord except Allah. And this is what they were upon, the Shaykh says, and this is what they were upon. And along with this, this did not benefit their iman whatsoever. This did not benefit their faith and have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Shaykh said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتُهُمْ, and if you were to ask them, and Allah is affirming this, that if you were to ask these people, yani the kuffar of Quraysh, مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, who created the heavens and the earth, ليقولن الله، ليقولن الله. They will definitely, surely say Allah created it. In Arabic, the word ليقولن, yeah, has lam ta'kid. This lam, yeah, this letter lam, is used for emphasis. And the at the end, the noon ta'kid with the shadda, yani this noon at the end, is used for emphasis. And this is in Surah Luqman, ayah 25, this ayah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. That they will say definitely, surely, certainly, Allah created the heavens and the earth. So they accepted this. They accepted this لَا رَبْ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. They accepted this, that there was Allah was the creator of the heavens and the earth. They believed in this and they accepted this. But that didn't make them Muslims. That didn't make them Muslims. That didn't bring them into the fold of Islam. That didn't benefit their iman whatsoever. The Sheikh says the mushrikun, they used to believe that this qawm, this universe, the creator of the universe, la sharika lahu, he has no partners. However, they used to put partners with Allah in his worship. Yeah, you understand? That Allah is the sole creator. He is the creator. He is the one who made everything. But they used to associate worship with him. They used to put partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they used to believe there was only one Lord. But they used to believe also in many, many gods or many, many partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted their i'tiqad, their belief. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that their worship was for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا. And those who took other than Allah as awliya, friends and protectors and guardians, for those who took other than Allah as a as friends and guardians and protectors, مَا نَعْبُدُوهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهُ زُلْفَ. They said, right, they said, we do not worship these. We do not worship these idols. We do not worship these statues. We do not worship these other things, except that they bring us closer to Allah. Except that they bring us closer to Allah. And this is in Surah Zumar, ayah 3. Okay? So they used to believe there's only one creator, but we worship all these other gods to bring us closer to Allah. Okay? Closer to Allah. And along with that, they were still not Muslims. Along with that, they did not have iman in their hearts. Along with that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't accept them. Did not accept them. The Sheikh says they used to know La ilaha illallah. They used to know this La ilaha illallah, and they knew that this necessitated that to be free from worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, they used to know this meaning of La ilaha illallah. Because they understood that if we say La ilaha illallah, we accept La ilaha illallah, that means you can't worship these idols along with Allah. Okay, so they understood the meaning. But they only used to say that only Allah is the creator. Okay? The Sheikh says, as for the majority of the Muslims today, then they explain this beautiful statement of La ilaha illallah, meaning La Rab illallah. So if a Muslim says La ilaha illallah, so if a Muslim worship says La ilaha illallah, and he worships someone other than along with Allah, then he is a mushrik. Him and a mushrik are equal in their belief, even though that the outwardness of his, of that Muslim is that he's a Muslim, that he, the outwardness of him, he shows that he's, he is upon Islam, because he says the statement of La ilaha illallah. So this statement is an expression of a Muslim, an apparent expression of him being a Muslim, but he hasn't understood this. So he, the Sheikh says that's why it's wajib upon us, all of us, being those who call to Islam and call to the Dawah of Tawheed, that we establish the evidence against these, this ignorant, the upon this ignorant statement of La ilaha illallah, and that the people really are in opposition to that. In reality, they're in opposition to that. Whereas, like the mushrik in opposition to that, whereas the mushrik, yani, he rejects La ilaha illallah. He rejects La ilaha illallah. So the Muslim, in his apparent form, he says La ilaha illallah, and he accepts Islam. But this is an expression, a worldly expression, and it's not real with the meaning. Whereas the mushrik, he rejects La ilaha illallah, even though in meaning he knows that Allah is the creator. So he is not Muslim, the mushrik is not a Muslim, la zahiran wala batinan, whatever, internally or outwardly. As for the majority of those Muslims today, they are Muslims, because the Prophet ﷺ said, if they say this statement, la ilaha illallah, then they are protected. Their wealth and their blood is protected from me, except for the right of Allah, and their account is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their account is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's many other evidences from the Quran itself, from the Quran, that prove this matter. That, you know, the Quraysh at the time, they believed in the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed that Allah was the Lord and the Creator, but they rejected worshipping Him. They rejected worshipping Him, and they wanted to worship things that will bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas nowadays, the Muslim who worships Allah doesn't even understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They don't understand the meaning of Allah. That's why they turn around and they say, there's no God but God. So it's imperative to learn, very, very important to learn the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Another meaning that people say, another meaning of La ilaha illallah, they say La hakim illallah, that there's no ruler except Allah. Okay, they say there's no ruler except Allah. Okay, and this statement is used by the Khawarij. The Khawarij were a sect, the earliest sect that appeared amongst the Muslims, the earliest sect of the Muslims that appeared amongst the Muslims. And what they do is they evict people out of Islam. They exit people out of Islam. So they are nowadays known as the terrorists, these people who fight against the Muslims. These fight against the Muslims. They are the Khawarij, the Khawarij, and they say there is no ruler except Allah. And this is how they rebel against the Muslim rulers. Okay, they rebel against the Muslims, and they say this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La hakim illallah. Not saying La ilaha illallah, they say the meaning is La ma'bud. They don't say the meaning is La ma'budin, none is deserving of worship. Bihaqin illallah, in truth except Allah. They say La hakim illallah, there is no ruler. So they try to take away the rule of the from the rulers. They try to take and rebel against them. And then they also the problem is that they make takfir of the general Muslims. They make takfir. Yani takfir here means to exit them from out of Islam. They exit them out of Islam. But the hadith of Jabir radhiyallahu anhu from the Prophet ﷺ, which is collected by Imam Muslim, This hadith negates what they say. They negates what they say, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah," whoever says la ilaha illallah, "wa kafara bima yu'bad min dunillah," and disbelieves in that which is worshipped other than Allah, harrama maluhu wa damuhu wa hisabuhu ala Allah azza wa jal, then his wealth and blood is sacred, and Allah will take him into account. Okay, his blood and his wealth is sacred, and Allah will take him into account. So whoever says and believes in la ilaha illallah, then his health and blood are sacred. So it's not permissible for the Muslims, these Khawarij, to make takfir of the general Muslims. It's not permissible for these Khawarij to attack and kill the Muslims. Okay, attack and kill the Muslims. So these are the Khawarij. These are the Khawarij, and they say, La Hakim illallah. Okay? They say there is no ruler except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this is how the callers to politics, this is how they translate the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They say, La Hakim illallah. They say, La Hakim illallah. This is their call, and this is their statement. This is their da'wah. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and this is what our Shaykh Rabi ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, when he talks about how these du'at of siyasa, those who call to politics, how they twist the meaning of la ilaha illallah. Twist the meaning of la ilaha illallah by saying la hakim illallah. So the Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. We did not send before you a messenger except that we revealed to him that there is none worthy of worship except أَنَا, يعني Allah, فَعْبُدُونَ, يعني so worship him. So worship me, yani worship Allah. Surah Anbiya, ayah 25. So the Shaykh says, they say that la ilaha illallah is la hakim illallah, that there is no ruler except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, this is a particular distinguishing factor of uluhiyah, yani Allah's lordship. Yeah, that la hakim illallah, and this tafsir that they say, yeah, because it's in uluhiyah, it's in this meaning of Allah being the ruler, Allah being the judge. This meaning is inside the meaning of uluhiyah. Uluhiyah is Allah's lordship. Okay, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a particular. A particular aspect of that Allah is allowed to be worshipped. Okay, so they say la hakim illallah. This tafsir, the Shaykh said, this tafsir leaves a person with shirk in front of him, leaves shirk being practiced in front of him, and he's not see it as anything. The shirk which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought against. They don't see it as anything, because they take this as, they take this tafsir, and they twist the meaning of la ilaha illallah. Okay, they twist this meaning, and they take this and they regard this as the fourth category of la ilaha illallah. In a deceptive way, they take this as meaning the fourth category of la ilaha illallah. Of Tawheed, by saying La Hakim illallah, La Hakim illallah, that they say that there is no ruler except Allah. That this is the meaning of La illallah, and this is not correct. This is not correct. Okay. And as the Shaykh said, you'll see after some time that they will take away, using politics, they will take away the meaning of la ilaha illallah, so nothing remains except al-hakimiyyah, Al-Hakimiyya. This is the word they use to establish these people who follow politics and make takfir of the Muslims. They take this statement, this phrase, Al-Hakimiyya, and they use this to mean it to have the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Okay? And they use this as an important form of their trickery, of political trickery. Okay? Political trickery. So here the Shaykh says, La ilaha illallah, the meaning is La ma'buda bihaqin illallah, that there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah. La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. Okay? And so what the Shaykh says, so what is worship? Prayer, fasting, zakat, hajj, slaughtering for Allah's sake, taking an oath, trusting in Allah, having hope, having awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this has to be done for Allah alone. And it's not permissible to do any of these matters for other than Allah. As for La Hakim illallah, then this doesn't even enter with enter any meaning with Allah. Okay? Any meaning with Allah. Because what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? The meaning is that there is none worthy of worship. There's none that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the creation they worship. The creation they worship. So the worship is an action of the creation. Worship is an action of the creation which they use to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they make ruku', they make sajda, they humble themselves, they cry, they trust, they have trust, they have hope, they have fear. All of these characteristics are actions of the creation. They are not the sifat of the Khaliq. These are not characteristics and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they say La Hakim illallah, yani La Abid illallah, they're saying La Hakim illallah, they're actually saying, the meaning is that there is no worshipper except Allah. Not that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. They say La Abid illallah. Yeah? This is what they're saying. That when you say La Hakim illallah, yani La Abid illallah, that there is no worship except Allah. The Shaykh says, try understand that this is a statement which is false. This has stressed the Muslims. These tafsirat, these different explanations, these corrupt and wrong explanations. And the Shaykh says, this have, I swear by Allah, this has distressed and caused sadness to the Muslims. With these false tafsir, these false explanations from the people who the mutakallimin, yani the philosophers and the people who practice rhetoric and other than them, they say this meaning of La ilaha illallah, the meaning is La Khaliq, that there is no creator. La Razik, yeah, there is no one who provides. La Muhyi, La Mumit illallah. They say this. They say that there is no creator. There's no one who gives permission. There's no one who takes life. There's no one who gives death except Allah. And then you see them worshipping a grave. You see them worshipping a grave. You see them slaughtering for a grave. You see them taking oaths and making sajda to a grave. Okay? They say, Ya Akhi, I do not worship this person. I don't believe that they harm or fear me. They harm me or benefit me. Because the one who harms and benefits is Allah. I do not say that they create anything. And I believe that Allah is a creator, but they do not understand their actions, which bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they consider this to be worship. They worship the graves and these type of things. So we understand from this that there are different forms and different ways that people translate this beautiful meaning of La ilaha illallah, that there is none, and this comprehensive and complete meaning of that there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah alone. So it's not where they say there is no God but God, and it's not when they say there is no ruler except Allah. Rather, the meaning is that there is none worthy of worship except in truth except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very, very important to understand this and read about this and comprehend this meaning of La ilaha illallah, because this meaning of La ilaha illallah will give you a comprehensive meaning and give you a comprehensive understanding of this matter. A couple of things that we want to one other point we want to look at before we actually delve into the book that we want to study of the conditions of La ilaha illallah, is that from the distinctions distinguishing matters of the kalima La ilaha illallah in the actual pronunciation, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he mentions, and this is a side point, but it brings us a great give us a better understanding of this. He said, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of hadith, he said, an explanation of hadith, he said, all the letters of La ilaha illallah come from with inside. You know, when the pronunciation, when we pronounce Arabic words, all the letters for La ilaha illallah are jawfiyya. They come from inside, deep inside, yeah, and not from the lips. They're not shafawiyya. Okay, they're not just mentioned on the lips, the letters, yeah. Rather, they have a deep pronounce. They're pronounced from within, inside. He said this indicates that they come from the heart. Okay, for example, when you say la la, yani the word la, it comes from with inside. It's not pronounced just on the lips. You know, for example, when we say the letter P in English, pa pa, yeah, the letter P, yeah, it comes with the from the inside. Okay, whereas the letter ba ba. B, it doesn't have any a strong. Sorry, the letter P is soft and the letter B is hard. Okay, it's the other way around. Yeah, letter P is soft and the letter B is hard. Just like La ilaha illallah, all those letters come from within, inside the throat, and not from the lips. So it shows, he said, this indicates it's from the heart. The other thing is also that the La ilaha illallah shows the way that it's actually pronounced, the actual letters, that they show a purity of not worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this just shows us the strength of this statement, the strength of this statement. Now coming to the book that we're actually going to study, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, the book is called Taysir al-Ilahi bi-sharh adillat al-shurut la ilaha illallah. Could be translated as the divine ease and explanation of the evidences of la ilaha illallah. And this book was written a very long time ago, approximately well over 25 years, no, more than that actually, about 30 years ago. This book was written well over 30 years ago by our Sheikh Ubaid ibn Abdullah al-Jabri, حفظه الله تعالى. شيخ عبيد الجابري حفظه الله is a scholar who lives in the prophetic city of Medina, Medina Nabawiya, was also called Medina Al-Munawwara. Okay, he lives there, and he used to be a teacher in the University of the Islamic University of Medina. He is also a graduate from there, and the Sheikh is a scholar of Tawheed and Quran, and the Sheikh is a Murabbi. In Arabic, the word is used Murabbi. A Murabbi is someone who teaches you the basic foundations and educates you upon that. Educates you upon that and brings you up upon the basics of the religion. The basics of the religion. Yeah, because once the foundation is strong, the rest of the what you build upon that will be strong. So this is his book, Taysir al-Ilahi, the Divine Ease in the Explanation of the Evidences of the Conditions of La Ilaha Illallah. In this he mentions, the Shaykh mentions, that this is a brief explanation, and it includes what the Imam of Da'wah al-Mubarakah, the blessed Da'wah, the Imam of that Da'wah showed, brought as an evidence. And he is the Shaykh, the Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. What evidences he brought for the conditions of La ilaha illallah. The Shaykh continues in his introduction, and we'd like to mention a few of the points because they're very, very beneficial. Some of the points the Shaykh said, in this explanation, I intended in this explanation of bringing evidence from the people of knowledge, from this people of knowledge, and I made this as the most of the explanation, which was conveyed from the people of knowledge. He said, and the reasons for this, firstly, is that I want to acknowledge clearly the excellence of the great excellence of those who preceded me from the scholars of the Imams of Islam. Yeah, and this prompts me to mention, and this is prompted by the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, "La yashkuru Allah man la yashkuru nas." He who does not thank Allah has not thanked the people. He who does not thank the people has not thanked Allah. So he wants to, the Shaykh, this is out of his humility and humbleness, he wants to show the virtue and the excellence of those great scholars who preceded him. He said the other point is here, he said, I want you to take part in this, in the da'wah of calling the young Muslims, the Shabab of Islam, the youth of Islam, who read and research or look into the ways of instruction and istiqam and be upon goodness, and those who are enthusiastic to find the correct path for rectification. The correct path of rectification, and that they find and acquire the books of the scholars of Islam, those who have an understanding of the book of the Sunnah, and they've trained upon that, and they are not deceived by the glitter of these books of the so-called modernist ideologies. Yeah, the modernist ideologies. Because most of those are built upon ignorance with the realities of the religion in the principles and in the branches of the religion. Yeah, so they're not fooled by this glitter of the way that these people write. So he wanted to be take part in this giving dawah to the youth of the Muslims, the Shaykh says. The Shaykh says that perhaps I bring an evidence that the imams of the Islam, like Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and before him Imam Ahmad, and that who came after him, for example, Shaykh Islam Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab, and the modern scholars like Ibn Sa'di, that they are the best to explain La ilaha illallah. They are the best to explain La ilaha illallah. And they teach the people the realities of this. And what and act upon what the La ilaha illallah necessitates. And those who claim in these books of ideologies that they have done so, then they are far from the truth. Far from the truth. And they point their arrows, their poisonous arrows, towards the young Shabab and any of the scholars of the Da'wah Salafiyyah. The Da'wah Salafiyyah. And we'll come across this word later, inshallah, in detail. We'll look at this in detail. And they call the Ummah generally and the Shabab specifically to move away from the Manhaj al-Salaf and to follow the people of Bidah. And this is a beautiful statement which Abu Uthman an-Nisaburi rahimahullah said, one of the great scholars. He said, whoever implements the Sunnah on himself, whoever implements the Sunnah of the Prophet upon himself, whether it's in statements or in his actions, then he has spoken with wisdom. Whoever implements the Sunnah upon himself in statements and actions, then he has spoken with wisdom. And whoever orders and implements desires upon himself, then he has applies or implements desires, falling of desires upon himself, whether it's in statement and in actions, then he has nataqa bil bidah, then he has uttered bidah. Anybody who follows their desires, whether it's in statements or in actions, then all he's going to get is innovation at the end of it. And then the Shaykh mentions wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And this was written by our Shaykh, Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafizahullah ta'ala. And inshallah, maybe in our future lessons, we can look at the biography of the Shaykh, because it's important to know the biography and the works that these great scholars put forward for the Muslims. With that, we've come to the end of today's lesson. And inshallah, hopefully in the next lesson, we can actually begin by looking at the conditions of La ilaha illallah and start looking at the evidences of La ilaha illallah as well. Jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. May Allah reward the brothers and sisters who broadcast these lessons with goodness. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك